Let's focus on Big Tobacco and BC's ongoing lawsuit when it comes to tobacco companies. In 1998, British Columbia filed the first lawsuit against tobacco companies like Imperial Tobacco, Rothmans, and Benson & Hedges. Now, other provinces have joined in on the lawsuit over the years as they hope to recoup health care costs. Now, today, three national health organizations want Canada's premiers to push for initiatives to reduce smoking during settlement negotiations with the major tobacco companies. In an open letter, the Canadian Cancer Society, the Canadian Lung Association, and the Heart and Stroke Foundation say government should make cutting tobacco use a top priority. In talks that began 4 years ago as part of the province's lawsuits, where they want to get this, seek a collective $500 billion in damages. Joining me now to discuss the issue is Charles Aurelia. He is the advocacy manager for Canadian Cancer Society. Charles, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Why do these three national health organizations want the premiers to focus, to a certain degree, on reducing smoking when it comes to these settlements?
Well, we know that tobacco continues to be a leading cause of preventable disease and death in BC and Canada, and it kills more than 46,000 Canadians annually, as well as 5,800 British Columbians every year. We also know that smoking continues to be responsible for almost 30% of all cancer deaths. So that's significant. That's almost a third of all cancer deaths related to tobacco use. So it's quite important to make sure that tobacco control measures are included as part of this settlement process.
In this, but would that not be accomplished just with the monetary damage that are being that the premiers are seeking? It's $500 billion in damages. One would assume some of that would, by these respective leaders, they would put some of that money towards reducing smoking, would they not?
Some of that would, but there's no guarantee exactly how much of that money would be put towards tobacco control measures. The United States actually went through a similar process where they sued tobacco companies and went through a settlement process. There was an independent fund created out of that process, as well as states were allocated funding from that settlement. However, not all states used that money towards tobacco control measures. Some of that money went to general revenues, went to infrastructure and other things. So we really want to make sure that there's a dedicated fund included in the settlement process that to ensure that tobacco control measures continue.
So that when you look at the core worry from these three national health organizations, the Canadian Cancer Society, Canadian Lung Association, and Heart and Stroke Foundation, is that government settles and wins a certain amount of dollars, significant amount of dollars from these tobacco companies, but it does end up in general revenue. You actually want this money dedicated specifically for reducing smoking, but also potentially cancer treatment, whatever it may be. It should be saved for the specific issue at hand rather than general revenue.
Correct. We want to make sure that at least 10% of the distributions from the settlement go to a specific independent fund to reduce tobacco use. We're also hoping that the settlement includes banning remaining all tobacco promotion. We're also asking governments to ensure that within the settlement, the tobacco industry is required to make extra payments if tobacco reduction targets are not met. And then finally, making sure that tobacco companies are required to publicly disclose millions of internal company documents that really tell what their behavior has been over the past number of years.
And that would, in regards to your latter comment, that would be very similar to what the United States had requested and won?
Yeah, very similar. In the United States, I believe the settlement led to approximately 40 million pages of internal documents, and you know that disclosed a history of bad behavior from the industry. So, you know, things like marketing light cigarettes as safer, even though they knew that they were not targeting children and youth in their advertising and marketing campaigns. Those documents also show that you know they conspired to suppress research on the risk of smoking, as well as invalidate public health warnings around the risk of smoking. So really a lot of evidence there. So we want to make sure that those documents are available to the public to see.
Now, your comments at the beginning of our conversation here was the fact that you don't want these dollars to go into general revenue, but more importantly, that a significant amount of Canadians are still dying of cancer, and that's due to tobacco products. Now, having said that, isn't it fair to say that we are still winning the battle against the smoking industry? And what I mean by that is, you compared to Canadian society today, BC society today, compared to two or three decades ago, I recall in my early days as a reporter, the debates of whether or not we should be banning smoking in bars and the fact that the industry would go bankrupt, and it hasn't. And I think most people would say it's actually quite nice to go to a bar or another establishment and not have to come out smelling like an ashtray, and it's better for your health and there's not the secondhand smoke. Are we not winning, though, if you step back at a macro level and say, hang on, we're not perfect, we've got more to do, but we're actually heading in the right direction here?
Yeah, so, significant progress has been made over a number of years due to policy initiatives over the last few decades. That being said, tobacco continues to have a significant health cost on our healthcare system. In BC, the province spends almost $700 million in healthcare costs related to tobacco use. We also know that almost around 85% of all lung cancer cases are directly related to smoking commercial tobacco. And that in Canada, the number of lung cancer deaths related to cancer are more than breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colorectal cancer cases combined. So tobacco still has a significant impact on our system, on the healthcare system, and in the lives of British Columbians.
When you're saying tobacco products, does that include vaping?
For the number of cancer cases, that includes vaping. However, the settlement does not include vaping itself. This settlement process happened a number of years ago when vaping was still quite new. Mm-hmm. That being said, vaping is still a significant concern for British Columbians. In 2017, there were about a quarter of youth vapers who reported that they were addicted to vaping. That number has increased to about a third in 2022. So this concern there, but this settlement process is specifically about smoking.
And the reason I brought up the issue of vaping, and I don't want to go off on a tangent, but as a dad, I hear stories already of kids just going to the bathroom at a high school, and there's kids in there vaping, and it's not one school. It's every school deals with this to a certain degree. In many ways, we aren't finished yet with reducing the amount of smoking-related health challenges that we have, but vaping seems to be sort of the new frontier in regards to dealing with this issue. When you say a third of teens are already using it, and are heavy users of it.
Yeah, so again, as you mentioned, vaping is still a significant concern. The good thing about this settlement process is that it is an opportunity for governments to recoup some of those healthcare costs that can be dedicated to tobacco control measures. So, once those settlements happen, the province can also introduce additional measures to combat vaping. Here in BC, they introduced a vaping tax, mm-hmm. as well as some partial bans on flavors. That being said, it continues to be something that we're monitoring and looking to work with government to take action on.
Any sense of what the range would be for settlement? I know $500 billion is thrown out nationally. What would that mean for British Columbia? Any sense of what you think those numbers would be?
Unfortunately, in this process, healthcare organizations haven't been involved within the settlement negotiations. It's really been happening behind closed doors between provinces and big tobacco companies, which is a concern because we want to make sure that these health measures are included within the settlement process. So we're really not sure, but we're hoping that the province does take a lead on this issue, mm-hmm. and include those public health measures. BC, has demonstrated leadership on this. It was actually the first province, not only in Canada, but within the Commonwealth, to file a lawsuit against tobacco companies. And when it did, Health Minister Adrian Dix was in working on tobacco file in the Ministry of Health at the time. So, you know, there's opportunities here.
Mm-hmm. My final question to you, New Zealand introduced the legislation or passed a law to ban for life the sale of tobacco products to anyone born after January 1st, 2009. I think that would make someone 13 years old, roughly, at this point. Is this what we should be looking at, where legislation should be brought in that would actually wind down the business of tobacco companies in Canada?
Yeah, so there's a number of policy measures that can be introduced to curb the influence of tobacco use and smoking within Canada. The settlement process is one example. At the federal level, the federal government has introduced a tobacco cost recovery fee of $66 million, which you know recoups the cost of the federal government's tobacco control strategy, as well as the government has set a target of less than 5% use for tobacco by the year 2035. So it's a number of incremental steps, but we're hoping to make progress along the way.
Charles, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to speak with you.